When you understand the things of God, then you begin to see a lot of profit. When you understand the word, what it means to you as a believer and to a church in general, you begin to benefit. When you don't know, you perish. Anything that dominates the thought of a man, you get it. So, meaning that you need to have the right thought about something. But when you seek his government first, his rule first, his interest first, we can know the interest of God from the written word. We can know what he's putting first. The Lord a mighty hand of praise. Everyone looks beautiful. Everyone looks beautiful. Turn to your neighbor, say, you look beautiful. Jovan, you see me after service, I want to see you. Praise God. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. You know, we are in the Christmas season. Christmas season. That's the major event. I know we have the cross overnight, which none of you should miss to attend, because we'll deliver our prophetic word during that cross overnight for 2026. Praise God. But the major thing in December is people celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. And so this morning we're looking at a message entitled The Prince of Peace. You need to, during this month, you need to begin to reflect. Church, or Christianity is not a religion. Salvation. Christianity is not supposed to be just a religion. No. It's a very powerful relationship. A very powerful relationship. Sister Noreen, I've not seen you also for maybe months. I don't know. Months, for some time. So let's clap for her. Praise God. So, we are not in a religion, but it is easy to make it a religion. It's not difficult. You can turn your Christianity into religion. Religion is what we try to do for God. God, see, this is what I'm doing for you. That's what religion. Religion is what we try to do for God. But salvation is a different thing. True Christianity has salvation in it. The center of it is really salvation. What is salvation? What God does for us through his son Jesus. What he has done. What he has done for us through Jesus. There's an offer that God has made us through his son Jesus. He has made to every human being. There's an offer. Salvation is what God has done for us through his son Jesus. Two different things. Religion is what we try to do. Salvation is what he has done. Are you not happy about what God has done for you? He has offered you an escape route. He has offered you reconciliation. He has offered you peace. He has offered you healing, deliverance. He has offered you whatever is in him. So we cannot afford to take him for granted. We can't. We can't. So salvation, in salvation, we have a very powerful relationship with God. So let's look at the Prince of Peace. What in the Bible, what is peace? Peace, the word peace in Hebrew is shalom, shalom, shalom. Shalom. And the peace the Bible talks about is not just the absence of conflict. It's not just the absence of conflict. People think that when you don't have conflict in your life, you have peace. No, no. It is bigger than that. It is bigger than that. The peace the Bible talks about is not just the absence of conflict, but it signifies wholeness, wholeness, completeness, wholeness. Well-being, prosperity, harmony. Harmony with who? With God. With the fellow man. Harmony. Divine peace. this is of God, it's spiritual. It has a spiritual angle. This peace the Bible talks about encompasses the physical, the emotional, you are feeling. You know, feeling, the way you feel can reflect, can really show you whether you have peace or not. Yes, the way you feel. That peace is also spiritual. There's an element of that peace that comes directly from God. And you know God is spirit. That peace the Bible talks about is of God also. Is it touches your feeling also? That peace also causes you to prosper. That's why the Bible says that those who hide their sin, they cannot prosper. Because they won't have peace with God. They even won't have peace with men. Praise God. Church, I think let's look at the peace that God offers us very carefully. For me, sometimes I can reach, see a person. You can laugh, you can do whatever you can do. I know that you don't have peace in your life. How you talk to other people, how you relate with other people, how you deal with your, even when we're in church, I can tell that this man, this woman doesn't have peace. Even if you put a plastic smile, I know you don't. You don't. There are people who are trained to smile. Yeah, you get them in the marketplace. They market, they sell. Praise God. But Leah also does marketing, but her piece is genuine. Her smile is genuine. Clap for her. So you can tell. Now that peace also means eleth. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That peace, the source is God. The source is God. Sometimes in the Bible, the greetings, they greet you, shalom. Peace be with you. Be whole. So sometimes it's a greeting that is meant to give you everything that God has for you. To wish you everything that God has for you. Now, where do we find peace? Ask your neighbor, where do you find that peace? Turn to another neighbor, who can give us that peace? Church, who can give the world that peace? Who can give the world that peace? Let me tell you, in the recent times, no leader has attempted to do what Trump has done for a long time. This man, you may think that is a small thing. It's never a small thing. It depends on which camp you are in. For me, I'm talking the facts. The man has tried to bring peace between different nations. In just 1 year, even lesser than a year. He has tried this, he has tried with Ukraine, and he has, by the way, recently again, he brought Congo and Rwanda together. You saw it in the news. He has stopped, the truth is, he has stopped many wars. At least the guns are silent in many places. Don't you think there is a big progress when the guns are silent? I'm telling you, President Trump did that. In fact, many Americans, some of them, they don't know the blessing of a leader that they have. They don't know. You know that Trump has blessed us as Africa. No, Lynn, how? Now, tell us how. Just one thing. On behalf of us. Clap for her. What else has he done? That has become a blessing. Brother Tommy, just tell us. You have been in the U.S. Tell us. Tell us. What do you think? What is the biggest blessing that Trump has brought to Africa? To unite people. Let's clap for him. In fact, according to his own testimony, he has stopped 8 or 9 major wars. 8. If you add Congo, I think it is 9. Yeah? You add Congo and Rwanda. But for me, I think the most important thing that Trump has done for us, he has woken us up as Africans. He has woken us up. People were sleeping. He has made us begin to look at solutions here at home. And he has enabled us to have breathing space. Are you not happy about that? You clap to the Lord. It is the Lord that brought him there. I'm telling you. He has done what no other Western leader has done from time immemorial. Not only from First World War, but from time immemorial. Because most of the nations, they make money through wars and making others suffer. The West has done that for a very long time. But now with him, he has come, he has focused on themselves to give us space. That's the good thing. He has given us space. So let's wake up and do what we are supposed to do. And if you had not known that God is involved, Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are those are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. That's why I believe he's working on behalf of God. He's a son. In a way. So let's thank God for Trump. And I want to encourage you to pray for him. Because at least, even if time comes and he goes, the world will never remain the same. The world will never remain the same. So let us look at what the Bible says about the Prince of Peace. There is a person who is a Prince of Peace. The Bible talks about that person. He's the one who can give us that peace. Isaiah 9 verse 6 to 7, the Living Bible. This is what it says. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. This will be his royal title. His royal titles. Wonderful. Counselor. The mighty God. The everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. His ever expanding, peaceful government will never end. He will rule with perfect fairness and justice from the throne of his father David. He will bring true justice and peace to all the nations of the earth. This is going to happen because the Lord of heaven's armies has dedicated himself to do it. Praise God. Look at this passage here. The end of verse 7 says, God is dedicated to ensuring that men can have peace. It's dedicated about people having peace. He's committed to it. He's committed to it. Ask your neighbor, do you have peace? Can we imagine that? That is committed. It's dedicated to see that people can have peace. How did he do that? He sent his son. This passage is talking about the Messiah, Jesus, the Savior. And by the way, this passage was written 700 years before Jesus came. Before he was born. 700 years before he was born. And this Prince of Peace, according to the Bible and this passage here, is a ruler who brings peace through authority and sacrifice. Other rulers, other kings, other presidents, they try to bring peace by waging war. By force. By waging war. But with him, he used the authority that he has and the sacrifice. Can you imagine someone who comes to bring peace and decide to sacrifice? By the way, that is what Trump has been trying to do. He has been, all these warring nations that he's trying to bring together, he tells them, you can sacrifice this, you can also sacrifice this. Because if you stand on yours and say, no, this is what I want, you will never have any peace. There must be a sacrifice. Even God tried to make peace with humanity. He sent so many prophets, but peace never came until he sacrificed his son. And even in your own life as a believer, do you make sacrifices for the sake of God, for the sake of peace? What do you do in your house? What do you do with your wife? What do you do with your husband? What do you do with your brethren? What do you do with your workmate? But for us, as believers, we are told, as far as it depends on us, we should live in peace with everybody. We should not be the one to cause trouble. We should be the one on our side. When God looks at us, he said, we have done everything we needed to have done to have peace, so that he can now deal with the other one. Praise God. So he sent his son, that ruler, to sacrifice, not to force. He came to establish reconciliation with God. He reconciled us with God. That's what Christ came to do. And then he also gave us inner calm. Inner calm. Peace has to do with inner calm. The world around you may be boiling, but inside you, you are calm. Why? Because you are confident that God is in control. You know what brings that peace? You need to know how important inner peace is. Peace with God is understanding his authority. Understanding the fact that he has reconciled you with the Father. I believe that these fellows who were killed here in Uganda, here, the Uganda martyrs, they were truly born again. They had received Christ as Lord and Savior. Yeah? You may say, Pastor, you were not there. But at least I've heard their testimony. Because we were told that when I read the history book, they were singing. They sang from where they were imprisoned up to Namugongo. They were singing. Do you know the other people of other religions were also there? With them, they were crying. So you just need to look at that difference. This one who are singing, they have the peace. They have the inner calm. Though they knew they were going to die. So that's why during this season, look carefully at what God has done for you. Look at the offer. Look at the offer. You see, he has reconciled us with God. If you are not yet reconciled, please be reconciled. Please be reconciled. Apostle Paul cried out to the Corinthians, please be reconciled to God. He told them. He was even telling those ones who were in the church, who had walked away from God, who had run away, who had turned their back on God, please, please be reconciled, he told them. But look in verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government, a ruler, is a ruler. Christ is a ruler of the kingdom of God. It's a rule. The kingdom of God is the rule of God beginning in our hearts. When the rule of God is established in what? You have peace. You have peace with God. You have peace with people. You will be able to forgive people. You know, if you are unable to forgive people, you don't have peace. Ask your neighbor, have you forgiven everyone who has hurt you? It is true. If you see someone who has hurt you coming and you take another route, there's still a problem. You don't need to escape.
and you cannot greet, you don't need to escape. There are some people who even leave the church if they keep seeing someone who has hurt them. If I keep seeing that person, I will not go back there. Can you imagine? So you are just actually playing and taking for granted what God has done. You are just playing. Look at Jesus. Let's humble. Let's serve. Let's serve God in humility. Just look at this ruler. This will be his royal titles. Wonderful. Wonderful. This Prince of Peace is wonderful. He can produce wonders in your life. Not only that, he's a counselor. He can advise you. Have you spoken to his spirit to ask for advice? Have you? Do you know why people lose peace? They don't seek advice. How in they end up being troubled. They don't seek advice from God. The Holy Spirit is there as your counselor. The spirit of this very ruler, Jesus. Counselor. Counselor. I had a friend, he's now not living here, he's living far. That man met me when he was doing very badly. I began to advise him, pray with him. And within, during that time, you know, $1 billion was still a lot of money. Within about 4 years, he had made $1 billion in business. He has made $1 billion. And there was no transaction that he does without coming for prayer. It wasn't there. It wasn't. It wasn't. We would pray together. He would tell me the things on the ground, then I tell him, please, leave this one. Don't, you will lose. I saved him from losing his money so many times. Then he got a lady and I warned him and I got a revelation. I said, this lady will make you a pauper. There are powers fighting her. Will make you a pauper. He did not listen. The lady began to take him for transactions. Every transaction they made with that lady, it was a loss. You look at a loss where someone loses over 100 million, over 50 million, over 200 million, until the man came to zero. When the man came to zero, the lady said, but this is not how I got you. I think I brought trouble in your life. And the lady went away. And left that man like that. And the man came back to me and said, I wish I'd listened to you. You cannot beat God in business. If you are a believer and you do business with God, you will never fail. He will counsel you. Praise God. Even in marriage. You see, church, like me, I'm your pastor, but I will never speak and advise you in certain areas which are sensitive. Especially in marriage. But God can show me if a disaster is coming and if everything is okay. I know. Because you know, the Bible says that love is as strong as death. So when it comes to love, I will not advise you except on open things. I will pray for you. I will pray for you. And if you have a friend in that area, business, love, and they want to marry, because that's a permanent relationship. Pray for your friends so that God can guide you. You can help them. If you don't pray, when disaster comes, you just find yourself crying and blaming yourself. So we have a counselor. Tell your neighbor, you have a counselor. Then the mighty God.
There's no one greater than Him. There's no one greater than Him.
You see, when you understand all this, you will have peace, whatever the circumstance. When you know that you are serving a mighty, you'll have peace. You are able. You know that He's a wonderful God. He can turn your situation around. You keep believing. You know that He's a counselor. You can ask Him. Learn to ask God a question. Questions. One time I met a Muslim man. He was a friend, and I sympathized with him because I knew that he needed God. He didn't need the religion he was in. He needed God, a relationship with God. So I asked him, I said, now, I want you, without leaning, without showing your interest, just say, God, who created the heavens and earth, if you are there, show me the way. Show me the way. What should I believe? So I told him, that night Jesus appeared to him and said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So I asked him, I said, what I told you, did you get an answer? He said, yes, Jesus appeared to me in my dream. I said, He's the way, the truth, and the life. I said, what have you decided now? He said, I fear my people. I fear the group. I fear the group. I never got saved. He never got saved. I hear he died later. Because he feared. How many of you fear to take the way of peace because of your friends? How many? The everlasting Father. Some of you cry that you are an orphan. You have an everlasting Father. And that's why Jesus said, when you are praying, say, my Father, our Father who art in heaven. So you have a Father. Give the Lord a mighty hand. Another title is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Peace comes out of Him. He's the source of your peace. He is. His ever expanding peaceful government will never end. His peaceful government will never end. You see, church, you know why we are saved, why we have Christ in us? Really, basically, for peace. We have peace. When you know that you have a home with Him in heaven, peace. Do you think there's peace in hell? Tell your neighbor there's no peace in hell. You know, in many churches now, you don't hear about hell. They motivate people, they motivate you, they motivate you. You have a crowd, a very big crowd, they motivate you. But you live the way you want. But in the end, you find that nothing has changed in your life. Nothing has changed. Sometimes people discover it when it is too late. So it is good for us to be reminded that there is peace. And also, there is hell. There is heaven. There is heaven. There is heaven. There is hell. Those who refuse to take the way of peace, reconciliation with God, they will take the way of hell. They refuse to leave their sins. They will take the way of hell. You hate someone in your heart secretly, you have taken the way of hell. Brother Alex, you hate someone in your heart secretly, you have taken the way of hell. Tell your neighbor, don't take the way of hell. Look at that. He will rule with perfect fairness and justice. from the throne of his father David. That's the Messiah. Fairness and justice. That's why the Bible says righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Psalms 8 and 9, verse 14. And we are told that the Lord is committed to that. So you need to know that God is committed to help you live in peace. He's committed. He's committed with all his resources. Can you imagine? And that's why he sent his son, the Prince of Peace. We are looking at the Prince of Peace. He's the source of our peace. This Prince of Peace is the Messiah. He's Jesus Christ. He's the door into the kingdom of God. John 10, 9 to 10. He's the door into the kingdom of God. The moment you don't have him, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Because he's the door. He's the access. He's the way. Not only that, he's even the life. When you enter that kingdom, you have the life. He'll give you the life. If you are willing. If you are what? Willing. God doesn't force people. And that's why he sits inside you after you have received Christ through his Holy Spirit. He sits in you to help you, to reproduce himself through you. Don't ignore him. Don't ignore him. We are closing this year, almost closing the year. My prayer is that let God open for you doors, new doors into 2026. So make sure that you discard whatever needs to be discarded as you look at what he has offered you, the peace he has offered you. He's the Prince of Peace. When you find him, you will find complete peace. Because he will cover every area. The inner calm, the prosperity, the wellness, and all that. In fact, the word shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken. Complete. You know, some of you write this scripture, you'll read it later. Luke 23:43. The thief on the cross. When they were hanged there on the cross, the other thief was trying to insult Jesus. If you are the Son of God, why don't you rescue us? The other thief said, no, what is wrong with you? You don't fear God? Then he said, Jesus, remember me. When you get into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus promised him there and then, today, you will be with me in paradise. Today. It was the man settled. The other one was crying. This man, the thief now, settled. He was still on the cross, but he was calm inside. Clap to the Lord for his ability to give us peace. Write also Luke 16:24. The rich man who was in hell with pain, he told actual Abraham, Father Abraham, you just send Lazarus to go dip his finger in water and then put it on my tongue. The pain is too much. The fire is so hot. So hell is real. It's not a nice place. It's not a place of peace. Write John 14:27. Look at this big promise Jesus made. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. Look at that. Ask your neighbor, you are afraid. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to. You know, that is what faith is about. Sometimes you meet people who are in challenging situation, but they look like they are not bothered. No. Sometimes you think What is wrong with these people? No, they have faith. They just have faith. They are trusting that God is able. Praise God. They are trusting. They are trusting. In fact, Isaiah says that in your rest, in rest and peace is your salvation. You see? So when you have faith in God, you will rest. You will have peace. Confident that God will get you out. God will get you out of that situation. Church, one of the things we should thank God for, living the life of a sinner is one of the worst things. It doesn't give you peace. If you live in sin, you don't like. A friend of mine who went to be with the Lord, when the Lord was convicting him, first of all, God healed that man of AIDS. He had AIDS, but the Lord healed him as a result of prayer. And then he got money. He got a very good job and he was making a lot of money during those days. So God began to convict him that stop living like that. Stop living like that. So sometimes he stays for a long time without touching the Bible. Then he picks the Bible and he opens it. The first place he begins to read pierces his heart until he drops the Bible down. It is like God just talking to him directly, rebuking him. And he feared the Bible. Then he stays for a long time. Then he picks it again. He opens it again. The first place, he throws it. He opens. He throws it. Again, God rebukes him. Speaks to him in a way that pricks his heart. You see, sometimes when God pricks our heart, he wants us to repent. The Bible says godly sorrow brings repentance. It's not like worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow leads to death. But godly sorrow makes you turn away from sin and you turn to God. You see? So you begin to fear God, to fear anything to do with God. And that's why some people who are backslidden, when they meet you on the way, they look the other way. Because you are reminding them that there's still an unfinished business between them and God. They have not yet finished something that they should finish. So they have no peace. Praise God. Ephesians 2:14, look at it. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two and one destroy the barrier, and has destroyed the barrier. Who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier. The dividing wall of hostility. God deals with sin between us and him, between us and others. Deals with the wall of sin and brings us, reconciles us, and then gives us peace. So when you ignore Jesus or you miss him, you cannot find rest. You cannot. Me, I have real testimonies of why you need to allow the Prince of Peace to rule in your heart. Real testimonies. Over the years, I just want to share with you just a few. One time I went to the hospital and I found a certain man dying. He was terminally ill. I ministered to him. And he said, no, me, I'm a religious man. He mentioned his religion. I said, no, me, I have no problem with your religion. I was only talking to you about Jesus. You need a relationship with him. Your religion, I am not touching your religion. You need a relationship with Jesus. And he said, no, my religious leader has been here with me. So I left him. The following day, I went again. I said, you need a relationship with Jesus. He loves you. That day, he accepted to give his life to Jesus. He made Jesus his Lord and Savior. That man was bitter. You imagine someone in the hospital was bitter and angry with relatives, with friends. And he was saying, these people have abandoned me here. So and so has made me suffer. In my workplace, so and so have made me suffer. At home, they have abandoned me. You just look at that situation.
The man was bitter. You look at it in his face. No peace. Disturbed. That day when he received Christ as Lord and Savior, I went back the following day. He had peace. I took him something to drink and to eat. He had peace. And he shared with me something which attached my heart and shows us the reality of this life in which we are in. I'm telling you the truth. So I went to him. He told me, he said, "Brother George, do you know what happened yesterday when I received Christ as Lord and Savior in the night?" I said, "No, I don't know." And he told me, he said, some people came. They were all putting on black clothes. They came in one line. They came at walking between the hospital beds. They came in one line. Just walk, they are not saying anything. Then they stop at his bed. They turn to him, say, "We have come to take you." Can you imagine? And he said, he told them that, "No, you cannot take me. I belong to Jesus. You cannot take me. I belong to Jesus." Then what they did, they just turned and walked without saying anything. And they went away the way they came. I said, what a testimony. Can you imagine this man beat hell by only a few hours? By only a few hours. Some of you, you are sitting in church, you are leaving relatives like that. They are busy going to hell. Keep witnessing to them. You are leaving friends. You are working with them in the office. You don't tell anything about Jesus. You don't tell them. You even see they have a lot of trouble. You even see they don't have peace. And some of them even wonder why you look so peaceful and good. And you don't tell them anything. Tell them about Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say, tell your friends about Jesus. Some of you think it is the pastor who is supposed to preach, to share. Tell your neighbor, it is you who is supposed to preach. Turn to another neighbor, says, it is me. So if you say it is you, begin to bring people in the church. Share and bring them, invite them to the church. You are witnesses. What do you witness about? Haven't you seen any change that Christ has done in your life? Sister Grace, just mention one thing that Jesus has done in your life. In 5 words. I don't want many words. Give her one thing. Our microphone lady, you should be very speedy. Just
praise the Lord.
Amen.
God delivered me from the spirit of death.
Amen. She was supposed to die. God delivered her from the spirit of death. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. So you can tell people who have no hope, people who are in trouble, what is worse than death? More worse than death. So you have a big testimony. Another testimony is the husband of one of our sisters in church here. Many years ago, he was a sister in church here. And in fact, they were not in church. That sister was not in church, but I knew the sister, the lady. She called me and said, "Pastor, my husband," they were all Muslims. "Pastor, we are in the hospital. My husband is dying." And I went there. And I ministered. I saw the man was restless. He was disturbed. I asked him, "What do you see?" He said, "I see people dressed in black. They are surrounding me. They are tormenting me. They want to beat me. They are threatening me." I said, "You know what? You need a savior. Jesus can save you from them." In fact, I led him to Christ. When I led him to Christ,
I went the following day again. I said, after we have spoken, he looked peaceful now, very peaceful. Just like the other man. He was so peaceful. The other man whom the demons came to collect, who said, I belong to Jesus, you cannot take me, I belong to... And the demons went away. That man was very happy. By the way, I didn't tell you how he ended. Eventually he died. But the night he died, he was lying on his back, and you cannot tell that he was dead. There was peace in his face. You cannot tell. We only realized that he had died. So the nurse came and told me, no, this one died last night. Then across, there was a religious man. Very, very religious man. He was also dead on his bed. But there was a big struggle in that bed. The blankets were down. The man was lying, the corpse was lying across the bed. Unlike this one, across. All the two hands were scattered in different directions. The legs were scattered in different directions. The neck, the head had turned looking back. The tongue had come out. The eyes had bulged out. In other words, the person struggled. I believe that the same group of people came to take him. And he was trying to resist them. Now, it made me understand why people struggle a lot during death, at the time of death. It means they don't have peace. They don't have peace with God. So hell of people find peace with God. When they have peace with God, they can have peace with men. Praise God. So the husband of this lady, I went back the following day. That day when I went back, I said, what about the people, the black people? We're putting on black. Where are they? Are they still disturbing? He said, no, they are very far. I can see them, but very far. I went the following day. What about those people? No, they have gone. They are not there now. Can you imagine? And then, the night he died, he tried to call me. Unfortunately, he told the wife, I want to talk to Pastor. Unfortunately, my phone was off. It was night, I put it off. But he told the wife, when you see Pastor, you greet him for me. Say, bye-bye, I've gone. Can you imagine? The Prince, only the Prince of Peace can give you that peace. You cannot find that peace elsewhere. You cannot. I told you the story of COVID. Of a very rich religious man who was in dying. And he kept crying with the name of his lawyer. I want my lawyer! Calling on a certain name, a prominent lawyer in town. I want so and so my lawyer! Bring him! Then someone who is a sister in the Lord said, what do you want? You speak in this WhatsApp so that we take the message to that man. He says, no, you want to steal me! You want to steal me! Then after some time, I want my lawyer, crying in the ICU. That woman was taking care of her own mother in ICU. Was said, but we can help you reach that man. Then the wife came. You see, let me tell you, because that man, I believe he thought money could give him peace. The wife came. He saw the wife. Ah, go away. You want to steal my money. But that is his own wife. I don't know what the lawyer was keeping for him, but it must have been to do with the money. Yes, and the will. And then the son also came. Oh, you go away. You want to steal my money. I want my lawyer. He died while his mouth was open calling the lawyer. Without peace. Just imagine where his spirit went. But on the other side, when you hear I'm telling you that's why we should not take for granted the Prince of Peace. When we are celebrating Christmas, we should remember really what is the key issue. What is the thing at stake? We should really look at the Prince of Peace. The one who can give you the peace. The one who can give the world the peace. There's a man who is called Anton. Anton LaVey was actually the head of Satanic Church in USA. The head. He was the head of the Satanic Church in the United States. But the testimony of this man, which is recorded when he was dying, touched my heart. You know what he said? He cried out and said, "Oh my! Oh my! Something is very wrong! Something is very wrong! What have I done?" That is how he died. I think when the spirit world was opened up, he saw that the devil deceived him badly. He saw the array of God's army. He saw hell. He saw the devil and his groups scampering away, escaping. And he realized that he was going to a wrong place, a wrong address. Can you imagine? That is how the man ended. What have I done? He was regretting. Don't do anything that will make you regret because of this short life. Life is very short. But the way life is structured, it is so easy to forget that it is very short. You don't see it. You only realize that, hey, this thing is ending. You know? So don't waste time. Don't. I can go on and go and tell you about Friedrich Nietzsche. He was a German philosopher. Those of you who read, you may have come across him, a German philosopher. He's the one who made the saying, who coined the word, "God must be dead." The communists used to quote him a lot because they thought they could do anything and God cannot stop them. So he used to say, "God must be dead. God must be dead." So, and he used to write attacking the Bible, attacking Jesus. In fact, his main specialty was attacking Christ. The day he was dying, he cried out in his deathbed. He said, "The Nazarene," meaning Jesus of Nazareth, "the Nazarene, the Nazarene, you have won, you have won, you have won." That is how he died. He realized at the last moment that he was fighting a losing war. He was fighting a losing war. Voltaire, the same, a poet in France. He was a big writer, a philosopher. Voltaire, the day he died, he cried out, "I see the gates of hell. I see the gates of hell. I see the gates. I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm lost." And he saw the gate. And the nurse, there was a Catholic nurse who was taking care of him. He said, "Even if I'm given all the wealth in the city of Paris, so that I die the way this man died, I will never take it." That's what the nurse said. He saw terror in the eyes of this man. Praise God. Jesus is the one who can give you profound peace. Profound peace. He's the Prince of Peace. The peace that God offers us comes through his son, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your son, the Prince of Peace. Father, as the world celebrates Christmas, I pray that let many find him. Let multitude find him. Father, help us to walk in faithfulness with you through your son Jesus, so that we finish our assignment here on earth. And live in peace. And go back home to join you. In that place where there's no sun, where you are the sun, where there's no pain, where everything glitters because of your glory. We thank you. We bless your name. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you are here and you need to restore your life to the Lord, you need to give your life to Jesus, can I see your hand? You want to give your life to Jesus. Those who are watching online, I just want to encourage you to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. I can lead you through a simple way of making a commitment to this Almighty God through His Son Jesus. And the Prince of Peace will come into your heart. And those who are here, just follow this prayer after me. And those who are watching online, you want to give your life to Christ. You want to establish a relationship with Christ so that you can have that forgiveness and that inner calm inside you, in your heart. Follow this prayer of commitment after me. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you as a sinner. Forgive my sins. I repent of my sins. Right now I invite you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you say that prayer from your heart, you are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Find a Bible teaching church near you where you can go and fellowship in order to grow spiritually. If you live in the city of Kampala, you are most welcome to worship with us at Victory Church of Christ Ministries International. And I know your life won't remain the same as you join the fellowship of believers in our ministry. God bless you abundantly. Let me hear about your commitment to God through Christ. Send us a message through our contact on the screen, and we shall send you materials for reading that can make you walk with God in your new found relationship with Him. God bless you abundantly. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. We are going to worship the Lord with our offerings, the different types of offerings. Let's worship Him. Let's start with the tithe, which is the foundation of all giving. Let's start with the tithe, which is the foundation of all giving. In Malachi chapter 1, verse number 6, God was complaining about His priests and His people. He told them, if I'm your father, where is my honor? He was talking about tithe. Tithe is for honoring God. When you touch it, you touch His glory. When you touch His glory, you get cut off from Him. So I just want to encourage you. Return always. Honor the Lord. Honor Him. People who don't tithe simply don't honor God. Sometimes they don't trust Him. Which brings us to a question, that if you can trust Him for salvation, how do you fail to trust Him for money? So let's return His tithe so that He can bless us. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, as your people return your tithe, bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let the choir minister as we give our tithe. Let's give our tithe. Let's do it quickly. Abundantly as you give your tithe. Those ones who are watching online, you can send your tithe through the contacts on the screen. Contact on the screen. And we are going to give the rest of our offerings, the different offerings, free will offerings. And those who were not here when we are doing Thanksgiving, don't conclude the year without thanking God for how far He brought you. Very, very important. We thank God for His blessings. We thank God for His grace. And we thank God for His provision.
That's why we thank him. So if you were not there, please make sure that you bring your thanksgiving sacrifices to the Lord. He says, when you do that, I will hear you on the time of trouble, and I will answer you and bless you. So let's pray. All kind of offerings, they are written there. Different types that you have. Father, bless your people as they give the rest of their offerings, multiply their seeds, and give them back in Jesus' name. Amen. Let the choir take us through this time.
Oh, yeah. dear friend, perhaps you have no saving relationship with God. And you love God. And you want to engage with Him, but you don't know how. I want to show you how. In John chapter 10, verse number 9, Jesus said, I am the door. Whoever enters through me shall be saved. Is the door into the kingdom of God. Right now, you can enter a relationship with the Almighty God. You can do that through a simple prayer of commitment that you can make to God right now through Him. And if you are ready to enter a relationship with God so that you can be a child of God, bona fide child, not just a creation, not just a creature of God, created by God, but a son, a daughter, follow this simple prayer of commitment after me. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you as a sinner. Forgive all my sins. I repent of my sins. Right now, I invite you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Amen. If you say that prayer from your heart, you are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Find a Bible teaching church near you where you can go and fellowship in order to grow spiritually. If you live in the city of Kampala, you are most welcome to come and worship with us at Victory Church of Christ Ministries International in Luzira, Kampala. And the word we share in these services will never allow your life to remain the same. And let us know about the commitment you have made through our contacts on the screen. We'll send you some material through the mail, through your email, so that you can be edified and can know how to walk in your newfound life with God. God bless you abundantly. I wait to hear from you. Amen.